Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of Football Theory. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Of course, pleased to be joined by the coach, former high school football coach at Brownwood, Belton, Rotan, Capel, Burnett, also college football player at Abilene Christian, coached there in multiple stints, also coached on the staff at the University of Texas, five different seasons as well. And now you can catch his work over at ShipleyRanches.com. He is a vault and a wealth of knowledge for us, and we appreciate him. Coach Bob Shipley, what's going on, Coach? How you doing?
Hey, Rod, what's up, man? Can you speak at my funeral one day? You know more about me than anybody.
Hey, Coach, you got a lot of accomplishments. That stuff I didn't even mention on here, Coach. You've accomplished a lot in your life.
What's up, just know?
The quick, succinct summary there. But yes, of course, we got a lot to talk about because, of course, we're talking about the spring game. So we'll get into our observations of the spring game. Yes, as a defender, I was a little disappointed by some of the defense, the pass defense. We'll talk about that, and I'll talk about what the glimpses that we got to see, the sneak peek we got to see, what it may mean for Texas football this upcoming season. Before we get into that, we do have to thank our fantastic sponsor, Laura Baker. Football Theory is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Give her a shout today at 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. All right, Coach, let's get right to it and give our thoughts on the spring game. There are a few things that stood out to me. You want to start on the offensive side, or you want to start on the defensive side? Probably want to start on the offensive side.
If you want the good news first or the bad news first,
that's usually how it works out, right? They ask you, hey, you want good news or bad news? It's like, you know what? I'll take the good news first. And the good news is that, yeah, Texas offense looked really, really good. And they are deep at a lot of positions offensively. One of those positions, of course, being the quarterback position. We saw Arch Manning, and Arch looked great. He looked fantastic. And one of the things that I think I talked about that I think may have been confirmed in the spring game, Coach, they're going to expand this wide receiver rotation. I think Sark is going to expand it. It's usually the circle of trust, as I call it, usually about three to four guys. I think you may have as many as five or six guys in that circle of trust. Looking at a young Ryan Wingo and what he accomplished, looking at DeAndre Moore, looking at Isaiah Bond, Jontae Cook, that makes for a solid bold. Is not even on campus yet. I mean, that's five deep at the wide receiver position right there. Matthew Golden, another guy. You could have as many as six receivers in that circle of trust. That's something that was confirmed to me watching the spring game that stood out. There is that was glaring, if you will.
You know, it's good. It's really good. But as long as we utilize it and figure out a way to maximize our talent at that position, it's you mentioned six guys. All yep. Six of those guys are go daddies. I mean, they're all stars. I mean, they're all six going to be in the NFL. In my opinion, you remember how long it was from the time, well, probably Jordan Shipley in 2010 draft. How long it was before he put an NFL receiver in the NFL? Especially drafting one. It was a long time. And so the good news is you've got six guys that are go daddies that are ready to go, primed, ready to go. You can't get the ball to six players consistently. It's you're doing an in-service to your studs. You know, yeah. You really are. I like the way that that Sark has left his studs in, as opposed to Tom Herman, who used more of a rotation, and nobody really got a chance, in my opinion, to really get into a good rhythm. So it's good news and bad news. What do you think about that, Rod?
No, I agree with you on that. I'm with you 100%. You got, and I think one of the ways to kind of, like you said, those gold daddies you talked about, I like that, to maximize those guys. I think Sark, we didn't see it in the spring game, he may experiment. Not experiment, actually. He may break out because he actually has it in his repertoire. We saw it at Alabama, a 10 personnel package, one back, zero tight ends, and put four wide receivers on the field. Have a specific package where you just blitz your opposing teams with speed. You put all that speed out there at wide receiver, put Jaden Blue in the backfield, go empty. By the way, I saw a lot of empty formation in that game. I think it was six snaps of empty formation, had a lot of big plays out of empty. I think you could see more of empty formation. That's something that Texas ran more of later in the season. The last three games of the season, we saw Texas run a lot more empty, especially against Washington. They ran a lot more empty. And Quinn was really good out of empty late in the season. 71% completion percentage in the last three games out of empty formation. Over 10 yards per play, over 12 yards per attempt in the last three games running empty formation. Explosive play rate was above 31%. And I saw it in this game. Now, we didn't see a lot of Quinn, but we saw empty. I think it's something they ran more of last season, late in the season. I think it's something we're going to see more of. And that allows you, kind of what you're saying, Coach, to use that speed. To really maximize mismatches and matchup advantages with that speed on the field, because teams can't match up with all the speed you're going to put on the field. You had a lot of speed last season. We saw that with Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell at the combine. I think overall, though, the wide receiver position could have just as much speed, if not more of it, potentially with the amount they've stockpiled with this group.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Yeah, I think you're right. I wonder, though, when you look at the spring game, Sark didn't call the plays.
It's true, he did not. Good point.
Yeah, he let, I think, maybe Flood call.
Yeah.
Flood probably called for one team, and then
A.J. Milwee, maybe?
Milwee called the other one. So, actually, it's probably pretty good to get some stuff on film. Everybody's going to be looking at, and all the opponents next season will be looking at that spring game, breaking it down. And maybe there's some tendency breakers in there. The fact that Sark wasn't calling the offense was probably a good thing, you know, just to let those guys have some experience, but also break some tendencies. But again, it's really, there's just not enough footballs to go around to six guys. Now, you've got Jonte Cook, who's a sophomore. You've got DeAndre Moore, who's a sophomore. You got Ryan Wingo, who's a freshman. You know, I don't know that any of those three guys are going to beat out Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, Silas Bolden. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But I think just with three guys, it's hard to get them all the ball the way that you want to. Plus, you've got, Jaden Blue and guys out of the backfield who are excellent receivers as well. That's a lot of people to get the ball to, and that's not even, and you're not even counting your running game.
Yeah, first world problems.
That's right. It's going to be a challenge.
No doubt, it will be a challenge. But I think Sark is up to the challenge. At least he proved that Alabama. I mean, we had four first round wide receivers with that group, and was still able to spread the ball around enough for them got those guys to showcase their talent. That would be the hope. But yeah, I think that receiver rotation is definitely going to expand. You could get some more concepts to help maximize all that speed, as we talked about with empty formation, maybe even 10 personnel. Didn't see that necessarily in the spring game, but I think he has it in his repertoire from his time at Alabama. I recognize there was more pre-snap motion, at least higher rate of pre-snap motion. Usually Sark's around 50 to 55%. You were a little bit higher than that in the spring game. And Sark didn't call the plays, like you said, but it was his offense. I do wonder if you'll see a little bit more pre-snap motion this season from Sark, given all the speed that he has, the way they want to use a guy like Jaden Blue, Amari Nyeblack being a versatile weapon, but definitely a pass-first kind of weapon there. I do wonder if you'll start seeing more pre-snap motions and shifts from Sark in the spring game. Slight uptick, slight increase on the rate of pre-snap motion. But something I did notice that I think you're going to see more of in the Sark offense, even with Quinn, is the deep ball. It was thrown a lot in the spring game, Coach. I think I counted 11 deep balls total.
11.
They threw a bunch of. Now, 11 passes of 20 yards or more down the field, yeah. I should say. 20 yards or more. Yeah. So it's true deep balls. It was probably 8 true deep balls, just vertical shots down the field. But I think they want to bring back the deep ball. Now, Quinn only played 2 series, but Arch has a beautiful deep ball. So does Trey Owens. And later on in the season, I want to say the last 7 games of the season, we really saw Quinn start to master the deep ball a little bit better. His last 7 starts, just a stat from LA Chen, last 7 starts, his QBR throwing the deep ball passes 20 yards or more, 92 compared to a 23 QBR in his first 15 starts throwing the deep ball. Completion percentage, 43% last 7 starts, 24% in his first 15 starts throwing the deep ball. Yards per attempt, 14.8 compared to 7.9 in his first 15 starts throwing the deep ball. And his off-target percentage, 25% in his last 7 starts, but 44% in his first 15 starts throwing the ball deep. He's getting better at it. He showcased some of that at the pro day. In the spring game, it tells me that Sark really wants to infuse more vertical routes in the passing game. I think we'll see more of that. It's kind of a glimpse I think we got of the offense too. I think we'll definitely see more of the vertical shots and the deep passing game coming back in the offense.
Yeah, well, that's a good news. The bad news is what you have, and I agree with you, Rod, would like to see more 2-back sets. It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard to get all those people in the game. Not only get them in the game, but have them all be threats that they potentially can be. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's first world problems. We've had other years where we had one receiver that was a go-to guy, and if you're lucky, you got 2. And so we want to see C.J. Baxter. We want to see Jaden Blue. We want to see our tight ends, and what we named off 6 receivers we want to see. I mean, it just can't happen. So I'm hoping these guys have patience, and the coaches can instill in them the patience that they have to get their shot to be the guy. Because you can only have 1, at the most 2 go-to guys at receiver.
Yeah.
Two is max. You know, so got to be patient. Got to just trust the process. Let these guys have success. Let them go get drafted in the first, second round. Wait your turn. And then hopefully everything will work its way out, because I do think this is a program a lot of kids want to be involved in right now.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I only saw 2 plays of the 2 tailback sets, the pony package, and that was early in the spring game when Quinn Ewers was in there. Jumping to the defensive side of the ball, I do think we're starting to see some slight influence of Johnny Nansen and his influence as a co-DC. When he was at Arizona, they ran a ton of single high coverage looks, which means 1 deep safety. That was your cover 1 looks and your cover 3 looks. Texas predominantly is a team that loves to play match quarters. They play it at a top 10 rate in all of the Power 5, but nobody ran more cover 3 and cover 1 single high looks as Arizona. They're among top 5 in the Power 5 in those single high looks. In the spring game, Texas usually runs predominantly 2 high safety looks. They're usually 55%, between 55 and 60% running 2 high shell looks. That was not the case. That was actually flipped in the spring game. More single high looks. I wonder if that's something that's a Johnny Nansen influence that we could see early on.
Yeah, it may be, but I don't think cover 3 is the answer.
No, I'm not saying it is, but I think they want more variety.
Yeah.
And we know Sark wants to play more cover 1. He's been on the record for saying that. And they want to play more man coverage. And I think the single high looks is a way for them to kind of diversify things. Because Texas necessarily, it wasn't great at pattern match cover 4, the match quarters, which is more of a Gary Patterson influence on PK. So PK can be influenced. He was influenced by Gary Patterson. I wonder if Johnny Nansen coming as the co-DC will have some influence on him. Could just be there experimenting with it. in the spring game and then the summer, and they're going to go back to some of their bread and butter. But I was just kind of pointing out it's a little bit of a shift for them. Something else I noticed, less boundary and field corner reps. The corners stayed left and right instead of switching field and boundary. That's also something to watch. Maybe it's them using their versatility, coach, less rigidity with that group in the back, in the backfield. Not that it helped them. And my concern, you know, is that the DBs, coach, they're not contesting enough of those plays, and some of the issues that plagued them last season, passing off routes in coverage, bad eyes in the backfield, giving up the deep ball, you know, inside breaking routes. Those were some of the same issues that came back to expose them in the spring game as well.
Yeah, and there's no excuse for that. I don't think it's anything that the Texas offense did in the spring game that they hadn't been doing every practice. You know, I mean, as a DB, did you see anything that looked confusing to you?
No.
Something that would, that you could say, oh yeah, well, that was really a tough combo to cover. I didn't see anything like that. I'm not a DB. Was it crazy stuff that the offense was doing to get those guys so wide open, or was it just bad defensive back play?
I said it was bad DB play, just me personally, but I'm a little biased, as you know. I went back and track, coach. First of all, let's look at the deep balls. They allowed Texas quarterbacks to complete 45% of their deep balls. That number is way too high. You go look at inside breaking routes. We're talking about slants and post routes, glance routes, six routes, anything that's an inside breaking route. They allowed the Texas quarterbacks to have a 52% first down touchdown rate on throwing inside breaking routes. When I looked at money downs, Texas quarterbacks converted over 70% of their money downs throwing inside breaking routes. And you think, oh man, that's crazy. That's just something that happened in the spring game. That was also the case for Texas last season. Last season on inside breaking routes, money downs, third and fourth down, Texas allowed their opponents to convert over 50% of their targets to inside breaking routes on money downs. So a lot of the same issues. The deep ball hurt Texas last year. They allowed opposing starting power five quarterbacks to complete 42% of their deep balls. And then we saw that come to fruition in the Sugar Bowl. And then we saw it again, obviously, in the spring game. So my concern is that the same issues that plagued them last year, we saw them materialize in the spring game, and we didn't really see much improvement in terms of them contesting some of those plays. So that would be my concern. Doesn't mean I am, you know, giving up on them, and it's not doomsday yet, but they certainly have some things to work on.
There's going to be a lot of work to be done this summer in training camp to correct those things. You would think through the offseason that some of those things, you know, would have been cleaned up a little bit. I didn't see a whole lot cleaned up. I didn't. I mean, I know that there's, you know, some things going on maybe that we didn't know about. Maybe there was some new combinations they hadn't seen yet, but I certainly anticipated our secondary to show improvement from last season. And so far I haven't seen it. But as I've said oftentimes on this and on our Winning Drive show we do on Monday and Thursday evenings, that I believe in this coaching staff. And I don't believe they're not idiots. You know, they're not sitting there. They've seen it 100 times more than we've seen it. They see it in practice. They see it in the game. Then they have to watch that film over and over and over.
Yep.
They're going to take steps to get this remedied. I just think it's kind of moved to the point in my mind where through the spring it was concerning. Now, to me, it's urgent. It's yep. urgent because you had time to get it fixed. And we still, you know, whether it's eyes, whether it's, you know, having a hard time recognizing routes. I don't know what it is, but I'm very concerned. I think it's urgent right now that yep. we get we get something taken care of on that.
Yeah, no doubt. I think they'll pursue solutions in the transfer portal, but they also need some of these young guys to step up now that you have Terrence Brooks leaving, Austin Jordan as well. Let's thank our sponsor before we end this thing. Football Theory, brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Give her a shout today at 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. So thank you to Laura Baker for all of her support. And thank you, Coach, for all of the knowledge. We appreciate your expertise each and every week. Like I said, I'm a wiser man for it. There's no doubt about that. So for Coach and myself, for the Owen Texas football family, for Laura Baker, until next time, Coach, hook 'em.
Hook 'em.